I'm Dwayne Hatton. We're at Hatton's Deli Restaurant, 3608 Euclid Avenue, on the corner of East 36 and Euclid in Cleveland, Ohio.
All right, Dwayne, my first question is, when did Hatton's Deli, when was it established, and how did you come about doing this type of business?
Well, this is a family business. My dad opened as a bar, Hatton's Arena Bar, back in 1952. And bought the building and made it a restaurant with a lounge in 1961. And I completed college in 1969. And after trying a few things, I went into business with my dad, and I've been here ever since. 1970, I started here full time. Hatton's Arena Bar, it was there was actually two separate businesses in that time. There was a restaurant that was owned by someone else. It was called Temple Court Restaurant, and the bar owned by my dad. When he bought the building, he made it one business and combined the two, and it became Hatton's Deli at that time. Oh, tremendously. It started out with the Prospect Association, which was the original group that worked in the area. And after that, Midtown Corridor came in. And when Midtown Corridor came in, there was a big impact at that point. At that point, we had Bearings across the street, which is now Applied Industrial Technology on the other corner. And we also had Premier up the street. And with the two heads of those two businesses and working closely with the mayor and the city at that time, they improved the area from what it was, which was in a very bad downturn back in the 70s. Since then, we've been seeing growth. Bearings moved out from the buildings they had on Euclid, which was three separate buildings, and they built with the Port Authority, the building across the street from us on the northwest corner. And with now we've got Myers College, and we've just seen some growth in a cleaned up area. Yeah.
How did that affect
Well, it was difficult for people to come with families. And now we've got people coming from different parts. Most of our business is comprised of people in the area with lunch business, but we also are in entertainment magazines, and we get people in from other areas, which at one time they didn't want to venture down in this area. So it's the way people look at downtown in the area. Yeah. Oh, without a doubt. We've always had the most diverse group. I mean, people used to come in just to see the different type of people. And by diverse groups, you're talking about working people, secretaries, people that are in blue-collar jobs, and some people that aren't working in the area, and just people that come down, or maybe a lot of times we get a lot of people that are at Cleveland Clinic, or they're from out of town because they've got patients and family members that are at Cleveland Clinic. So between men and women, black and white and Asian, and Cleveland's becoming quite an Asian area too, we get very, very diverse. Oh yeah, yeah. They're across the street. They're on both sides of the street. They've got the building over there, and they have a building on this side directly across from them. And of course, I was here before that was a thought, when the Cleveland Arena was here. So I was here when that was built. And Brewing, which was head of Bearings, was a big contributor to that. And that's it. Yeah. Well, when the Cleveland Arena left, it was a big downer for this area. We used to have good nighttime activity because we had, we had the Cleveland Barons, and we had the wrestling, and we had the ice capades and everything. So it brought a lot of people down into the area. And when that was moved out to Richfield, to the Coliseum, and it was vacant, that was when things really were in probably the lowest point at that point. And that was in the early 70s. I never heard about that. Once they moved out, that was about the end of it. I know the owner of the building donated it to Bowling Green. And at that point, they didn't do anything with it. And I don't know, of course, the buildings around it had to be sold so that they can make room for the Red Cross. It affected us tremendously. We had a very good business before because we got a lot of business from that. And of course, when I started here with my dad, we were doing a terrific business. And when that happened, it was a struggle for a bit. Oh yeah, me too.
Have you had any unusual or interesting stories, things happen in the deli itself? Any crazy things?
I'm sure we have over the years. I don't know what specifically you're looking for. I'd have to...
Do you remember a story? Do you remember a specific moment or something?
Well, we used to be open at one time until, back when business was booming, the deli used to be open at one time till 12:30 in the morning. I mean, 2:30 in the morning and 12:30, and we slowly reduced the times. And, of course, when you open at night, you've got a lot of crazy things that happen because you've got people from the bars coming in. Yeah. And some of the stories you don't want for a project.
No. Okay.
But it was an interesting story that I had. It was me that one time we were having a fella came in. He was causing a problem. And the waitress told me, you've got to get rid of that guy with the stocking cap on. He's causing a problem. And I went over and I told this guy with a stocking cap and made him leave. And he said, what do? I said, just leave. I was pretty much in charge then. I told you to leave, you left. And he got out the door and the waitress came back and says, you got to get that guy out of here. And I said, I did. He says, no, that guy with a stocking cap over there. I had thrown the wrong guy out. So I had to immediately go back and grab the guy that was walking down the street and make him come back and told him I threw the wrong guy in and have him sit down and eat. And he did. I brought him back and threw the other guy out. But if that's the type of story you're looking for, I can give you a bunch of those.
Yeah, a couple of things.
Yeah.
Say, when you brought the guy back in, did you offer him a free meal by chance?
As a matter of fact, I did. I brought his meal. We were friends for a long time after that. His name was Mel. And he just was totally puzzled why he was being thrown out. But, yeah.
That's cool. Are there any other stories that you
want? Oh. Well, yeah, it's all got to do with me. You want stuff about me? Yeah. When, it's in the restaurant business, sometimes you're shorthanded, food doesn't come out as quickly as you'd like, and the owner has to go back and cook. And we were busy at that time. The area was doing pretty good at night. And I had a guy that was waiting for his breakfast, and they told me he's waited a long time. He's getting anxious. He has to leave. I said, I'll go back and make it. And I ran back there and started to make it. Just as I put it up, they told me, forget it. He left. I said, not after he made it. He didn't. So I ran out the door, and I says, hey, I made your breakfast, and it's ready. I says, you're coming back in. I brought him back in, and he ate his breakfast. So other than that, we've had a variety of people. No real trouble. The area hasn't really been place. We've never had entertainment in here, so we've never had any trouble. It's not been a trouble spot. Of course, through the times, we went through different types of people. I don't know specifically what you're looking for, but I got an idea. But things have changed. As I said, back in the 70s with the... at that time, I think what you're looking for is when the area was pretty much in a prostitution area. And we did have that quite a bit here. No, you didn't know that? But there was a lot of that activity there, which with Midtown coming in, that got cleaned up. And that was one of the reasons we didn't have a... So you see, I've seen this area through every type of time there was. But with Midtown coming in, and at that time, they actually, it was to the point where they brought the 2nd District and the 2nd District and some other force down here to enforce the laws when they became emphatic that they were going to, their area was going to be cleaned up and it was going to move forward. And from that time on, it did move forward. It was street prostitution, so it was on, Prospect was the main area, and so that's why a lot of people didn't come down this way unless they were looking for that. So that's why I was here. I've worked pretty much all the time. I mean, I was there days, nights, and I still am. Now I'm an old guy and getting tired. No, that's a real interesting question. When my dad started this business, this was daytime. The prostitution was situation was at night. Daytime was pretty good. We had the businesses around here, and majority of white Jewish clientele, and at that time. We were so busy. We've added on to our building twice. My dad did. This is all in addition. Originally, it actually stopped before this entranceway here. And as I said, the two were separate businesses. And then this where this bearing wall is here. That's all a new addition on there. Because they used to be lined in the hallway at that time, taking numbers. That's how busy we were. And my dad started this as a Jewish delicatessen. He had all the Jewish specialties. He had the lox, the whole lox in the deli case, and sliced it up to order. And we had the herring, and the whitefish, and the borscht. And we had the Jewish countermen here. Now we're professional countermen. You don't see them too often anymore. If you go to Corky and Lenny's, you do. They used to slice the corned beef, slice the bread by hand. And it was a much larger menu we had now, and it had, as I said, all the Jewish specialties on it. And my dad, for an interesting story, he was a very, very astute businessman. He led everyone to believe he was Jewish so that we're Catholic. So he would greet people in Hebrew, and he was Jewish as far. In fact, we're Catholic Lebanese. And one interesting story has nothing to do with the restaurant. It was when I was younger, and before I was married, I met this girl and went out with her. And she knew my dad owned Haddon's Deli, and when she found out I wasn't Jewish, and she's Jewish, and I'm Catholic, she says, "It can't be. Your dad's Jewish. He owns Haddon's Deli." I says, "No, he's not Jewish." And she's, "Oh my God, my mother will kill me." So I never got to see her again. But yeah, he ran a strictly as a Jewish deli, and it slowly evolved. We reduced the menu, and then he actually went to, when it changed some, he hired a Hungarian chef, and he ran it as a deli restaurant with a lot of Hungarian specialties, which we no longer have a Hungarian chef, but we still run daily specials, and we still have chicken paprikash and different things on the menu.
That's cool. That leads me to my next question. Is this,
Well, corned beef is the most popular by far. We sell, yeah. I mean, see, we just recently remodeled, and the bar and the restaurant have been separated with just a doorway going to each side. We took those walls out. It used to be you walked into a hallway, and you walked into the deli side or walked into the bar side, which was a dining room. Now you're walking into the restaurant. That's how we've changed it. And it's all one. But we changed the other side. That used to be our deli side, which was had the seating. Now that's our catering, takeout and catering. And all the seating is over here. We do quite a bit of catering in deli trays, hot food catering, whatever. And as far as the menu, where are we on the menu changing? Is that where we were?
Yeah, I was asking what would
you like. Oh, popular items. So corned beef, and we sell a ton of chicken wings. Not the whole wings, but the wingettes. We go through a lot of those, both in catering and in-house. And sandwiches, most of the sandwiches. And we have, everything we do is homemade. We have our homemade soups, we have homemade meatloaf, and we have a good roast beef, so all that sells. Yeah. Which sign?
The one that says, it does say
that's yeah, that's in dire need of repair, as you can see, but that's been with the building since my dad, I think after in the 60s when my dad took over the restaurant and made it Hatton's Deli, he put up the flashing signs, and that sign's worth refixing one day, but it's been there forever. Let's say my dad, as I said, in 61 took over the deli, and it's in the 60s he had that sign erected.
Yeah. I think it was kind of the
way
it is.
Yeah. And believe it or not, people coming up the street, they do see that sign, and it does bring people in.
Yeah, I know when I first came here, I asked the interview, somebody jumped
on, I was like, oh, that's how you determined to come here? Is that,
I'm sorry?
Is that how you just determined to call me? Yeah, the sign does it. Even without it being lit, it attracts people's attention.
My next question is the city of Cleveland going to be doing anything
in the No. No, we did a... in fact, the city of Cleveland has money available to do frontage work. And we did at one time. That front has changed. My dad had it remodeled once. And the only thing with anytime you're going to do anything with frontage work, you have to see the city of Cleveland. You have to get their approval. And some of the things that if we're going to change something, I might not want to do it the way they want it, because what they would be looking for, I've already checked into that. Have they prevented me? They haven't prevented me. I just changed my mind about doing it, because they would want the front to be brought back to the way it was originally, because that's what they're doing in the area, bringing everything back to original. So they would want big storefront windows as the way it originally was. And since it's not something that I feel is appropriate yet, I would stick with the type of window treatment I have. As far as changing the brickwork or paint or anything like that, you don't need approval, just if you're doing major restoration. Yeah, at that time you just got a building permit and just put additions on. That's not a problem. And it's, the only thing, that's only since they've started with Midtown and the restoration. They want everything. You have to go through approval from Midtown to do any major changes in the front. That's not, if I were to decide I wanted different windows, different size windows or something like that. As far as changing my sign or anything, it's not a problem because it's already up there. Yeah, I don't know, and I'd like to know. Yeah, I mean, I've had people come in here and offer to buy it, but I've never found out what it was, and it's just different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was there from before my dad owned the building. My dad bought the building in 61, and this building's about 75 years old. Moving my store? I would consider retiring and letting someone else run the store. Yeah. I mean, I'm not about to move. Yeah, when the deli was always a meeting place also, where we had always a front table for breakfast and they hung around. And also, of course, back in the 70s, we were very big with salesmen. We had a lot of salesmen that came in here. It was a big draw because at that time, our hallway, believe it or not, had six payphones. And salesmen would come in, and while they're ordering their lunch or after their lunch, they can get on the payphones and make the calls. But with the invention of cell phones, the payphones went by the wayside, so people didn't. But that was, I would never let them take the payphones away because it was a big, big thing. And now we're down to one payphone because everyone's got a cell phone. Prior to when my father purchased it, there was, as I said, the restaurant. It was called Temple Court Restaurant, and that was on the corner. Of course, all the entrances were different. There was a small bar, which was set up totally different. As I said, just came halfway to where it is now, and we had an entrance to the basement from the bar because the bar was separate from the restaurant, and the hallway was only for the apartments and the upstairs for the building. So when you came in the doors that you came in, that would have been just the hallway. The Temple Court Restaurant had its entrance on the corner of 36 and Euclid, and the Happens Arena Bar had the entrance over here. Prior to when my dad owned the bar, it was still the Temple Court Restaurant, and it was called, I don't know what the bar was called for sure. I think it was still called Arena Bar because Arena was a big thing. And prior to that, I don't know. I know that when we did do some remodeling, we found and tore the walls out. We did find stone as if there was at one time a home here, and this was built around it, but I don't know any facts on that. Corridor. The way it is right now? Well, it's still in a growth period. So things are still moving forward. Yeah, everything's fine. They did some planning and plantings, and we have our own parking lot, so we don't have to rely too much on parking, on street parking. But it's going to change drastically with the Euclid Corridor project. I mean, I don't have a problem. You mean the area? Is that what you're asking? What's your question exactly?
Do you feel like the Euclid Corridor project is a good thing or?
Well, I think, I don't know how much, it's going to change the thing. I don't know how much the transit itself will make a change in the area. I think that the fact that they're doing it and they'll be beautifying the area and planting trees and fixing the area up, it'll be a much nicer place. I'm probably a minority of a lot of businesses because, as I said, I have my own parking lot. And businesses that don't have their own parking lot, they're not happy because there won't be street parking and it'll be difficult to get people in, and everyone can't rely on the the transit to get people in with the new corridor transit. But we, because they'll be reducing this, the size of the street, and virtually eliminating parking in the area. So it's got its pros and cons. The fact that it'll improve the area, it'll make it nicer looking and allow people to come in on the transit. I think that might help. The transit could, if it's going to bring more people, other people than what the current buses are doing, it would probably be the people from the hospitals that want to go from University Hospital and Cleveland Clinic and be able to come down here and eat.
How do you feel about the city of Cleveland?
Where do you think, where do you see the future? In someone else's hands. I don't know as far as menu changes are concerned, but it's hard to say what would happen in the future. If depending on what the Euclid Corridor project brings and the type of people it brings down, it could go into more takeout and more of a bar in the evening, or maybe more on different coffees, depending. Cleveland State has always stayed below the Interbelt. That's always been their policy, so we never was able to drive much from Cleveland State. But as far as Myers College now, they've got pretty ambitious plans to build in the area. They took over the university club, and they took over the Minnehaha building at 40th and Chester, tearing that out, putting classrooms in there. And my understanding from Dr. Feingold is that they're going to be looking for dorm space. I understand they also have dorm space at Viking Hall for some of their students. So it depends on how much of a college area becomes and how much of a foot traffic area becomes. Things change in the restaurant business. You just have to watch how it changes and change with it. As we did when we were from a Jewish deli down to a reduced menu now and catering to the type of foods that people like. No. No. No, my kids are too smart. Yeah, I made that a point from the beginning because it's a lot of hard work, and I've told all my kids, I says, you better get an education. And I got an education, but this was a good, profitable business. It's not as easy to make money today in business for yourself as it was in the 70s. And you don't have a retirement plan unless you plan your own. And you don't have vacation days, and you don't have time off. So I work an average of 16 to 18 hours a day, every day. And I don't think, my son is way too smart for that. He's a teacher. In fact, he's currently teaching in Brazil. And he's taught in Beirut, Lebanon. He got out of there before it was bad, and he taught in Cairo, Egypt. And he's just always been a traveler, so he likes teaching overseas. He's doing very well, and he told me, his dad, you and everyone else works and works and works, saves money, go on vacation. He says, I travel and to make money. I make money while I'm traveling. So, and I said, they're smarter. My two daughters are married, and so they don't need to be here. So it wouldn't be a family member, no.
All right, Dad. Thanks for your time.
Sure. Anything to help? You'll have to look that up. That was well known. The machine that's prepared the ice for the it has a special name, and yeah, and that, you can turn it off.